We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, just a reminder that Jim's Steakout is open, so don't be afraid to go and treat yourself to a nice little meal. Some other things to mention: beautiful day outside. Instigators, we are doing our show through Skype, and it's actually, I don't know, how have you guys been finding this?
I love it. I think it's a lot easier for us to talk to one another when I see Riv's reaction. I see your reaction, Petey, as opposed to just doing it on the phone without any focus as to what's going on. So I can see you just reheated your coffee and you're enjoying it. So that to me is gold right there.
How many coffees is too many?
I don't know. I don't drink coffee. So would you say six in a day is too much?
Oh, my God. Marty.
Not enough? What?
one nice cup of coffee a day. That's all you need. I don't think you need any more than that, or you're off. You're going to be having the shakes.
Well, some people have the shake regardless.
Well, that's true. I got to say, though, whenever we get back in studio, and not due to laziness, I just feel that not showing up at 9:50 might be the right thing to do. I mean, seriously, you know, as long as you're prepared, you know, that's what they say when you're playing hockey, if you're prepared. Speaking of prepared, you guys are loving all these videos on social media, eh?
Yeah, yes. There's some great one out there. Some very creative ones, and I don't know if you guys have seen the one where the people are juggling with toilet paper because it's been such the commodity to have toilet paper on hand, even, you know, so many days into being either quarantined or socially distancing yourself. But so. I saw the Montreal Impact, the MLS soccer team. They were juggling with their feet the toilet paper. I saw a hockey team, a girls' hockey team from the Montreal area, that they all got videos individually, basically receiving the toilet paper from the right side, juggling with it, sending it to the left side, and then so forth and so long with everybody from the team. I think there's been some really creative things on the internet and on Twitter, especially, and on Instagram, from many people, and maybe it kills an hour or two of your day, and it's great.
Well, give me your three stars, Marty.
Oh, well, there's a lot out there, and listen, we've got great people still working in our group, in our production group, putting these together. So in our rundown right now, we have probably seven or eight internet stars of the day. I'm going to give you my number one internet star, and I'm going to retweet it right now. It is Elias Pettersson, who is saying, "My golf game is getting good." and it's him outside, beautiful blue sky. I don't know where he is, if he's gone back to Sweden or if he's in Vancouver, but he's working on chipping. And every chip he does, it lands in a cup of water. And then he goes to a different chip, and, you know, he's doing the Tiger Wood, and then it lands in a cup of water. But it is just to show that some people out there obviously are a little creative with their social media posts. And he did a fantastic job. Just, you can tell that the ball is rolling towards the cup of water, but it always lands in it, right? So I thought he was great. I loved it. I thought that's exactly what social media should be about right now.
Petey, what do you got?
I like the proposal one.
It's amazing.
Have you tried it? Have you tried taking a paper towel and writing something on the top one? No. Write something on the top one and then have another one underneath it. And then when you put it in water, you can see the message come through. It's amazing. Like, this is combining like fifth grade science and humor, and the look on the girl when she thinks, well, I think it's a setup, obviously, but the look on her face when she thinks she's getting asked to in marriage, and it's instead, can you make me a sandwich, is fantastic.
Is that fifth grade science?
I would think that would be middle school, maybe.
I guarantee you my mom has all my report cards. I'm going to find out what my fifth grade science was.
What do you think it was? 80? 85?
Well, we didn't do percentages.
We had A, B, C's, D's.
Yeah, E's and F's.
E for effort?
Yeah, I don't know. E for you shouldn't be in this class. F is usually just for the bad kid who gets an F.
Yeah. Riz, what was your star of the day on the internet?
I'm going to have to go with my boys, Kevin and James, that we have the honor of working with here. They put a tweet out, a video out of Josh Allen, basically with his head on this. I don't even know how you say it. How would you say it, Marty?
It's photoshopped onto a movie clip.
Yes. And what was the movie you said?
It's called The Warrior. So it's it's an early 1979 movie, I think, called The Warrior.
Yeah, and Josh Allen has his head on one of the characters of in the movie Warrior, and he's saying, "Can you dig it?" And I just thought that was the best one.
It's called The Warrior.
I'm doing it no justice right now whatsoever, but it's amazing.
Well, I will tell you this, Riv, I have not seen that yet. And the way you just sold it doesn't make me want to watch it.
Okay, listen, I will retweet the marriage proposal. Let me retweet the Can You Dig It? And then I also, I'm going to put my honorary top three star of the day. Have you seen this Boston Bruins sweatshirt wearing guy walk in the middle of a press conference in Massachusetts? It is some of the best non-setup comedy you could see. So I'm going to retweet that as well, because those were pretty funny to see. So this guy, it's like at the DMV, he just walks right in, right behind the scenes, and he's looking around like, what's happening here? Why is there all these people? And he's got the Boston Bruins logo on. People want to know what is going on with this guy. He has the terrible bed hair. Like, he just woke up from, you know, sleeping 12 hours, maybe slightly hungover. I think it is a fantastic clip. And you got to get a laugh here and there when you see something, and that's one of them.
It is unbelievable, that clip. The guy's in outer space. He doesn't even know that he's standing behind the mayor, and the mayor is going live on TV, and he's just with the worst bedhead I've ever seen. Just no clue whatsoever.
Well, I got a tweet here, boys.
Yes.
Petey. Although I'm almost 40. I don't know that I need to be called Petey anymore. But anyway, Petey, you sound like you're in studio. Why do you have professional audio and they can't? It's from Justin. Just saying. How's that work, boys?
I don't know.
He said Riv sounds like he's in the can.
Well, Riv sound like he's in a mahogany office, and that's what it is. You know what the problem is, maybe? Is both Riv and I are using headphones, and you're just on your computer speaker of some sort, PD, so maybe that's the difference.
I'm giving you guys the close-up, the everyday close-up that yes. No one gets to see. No one's this close to my face ever. Hey, did you guys see the duo thing? Who would you rather have? It was the Crosby, Malkin, or Lemieux Yager. This one is an absolute no-brainer for me, but I'm curious to know what you guys thought.
That's not even close. It's Lemieux Yager. If you think Crosby and Malkin are even close to what Lemieux and Yager were, I mean, I'm sorry. They're fantastic, and it should be considered, but it's Lemieux Yager. I played against Lemieux Yager, and I was only 18, but still, I was like basically, let's just say I maybe have soiled my pants after that game. And Crosby Malkin, yes, they were dangerous, but they were not making you do things that you haven't done since wearing diapers. Let's just put it that way.
All right, I want to take this a step further, Marty and Petey. I'm going to ask you a few dynamic duos in league history, and I'm just going to go through a couple. We could do a whole bunch, but I just want to hear what you guys have for your top. So we're going to start with obviously Yager and Lemieux, Crosby, Malkin, Hull and Oates, Sakic, Forsberg.
Wait, are we talking about Hull and Oates like the music band, or are we talking about
old Oates? He set up every single one of Brett Hull's goals there, buddy.
You didn't get what I said.
Yes, I got what you said.
He definitely got it. So did I. That's why there were crickets.
Okay. Yzerman, Fedorov. I got to throw in a Taves and Kane. Gretzky, Messier.
Okay. What do you want to know?
I want to know who would you think would be the best duo?
Well, anything with Gretzky, right, would be considered probably the best because, I mean, Gretzky Messier won 4 straight cup. I actually think it was more like Gretzky Curry, the duo, right? Messier was on a different line, I believe, but still, I think you looked at the 1-2 combination of Gretzky and Messier was completely deadly. So I would have to go with that, but I still stick with Yager Lemieux. I mean, they were just big, strong, control the game, and I don't even think Mario was at his best in that time. Mario was starting to have back issue in the early 90s and then had to go through cancer treatment. So I still think that Yager Mario Lemieux was by far to me the best duo. But
can you not sit here and have an argument for a Crosby Malkin? Like, Crosby has won how many scoring titles in the National Hockey League? He's won 3 Stanley Cup, Marty's. And then you look at his, if you want to call this a sidekick, Evgeny Malkin has won the scoring title. Every year he's in the top 5 in scoring. I mean, and if you're looking at size, Evgeny Malkin is a big man.
Lemieux and Yager are both bigger than Malkin.
Yeah, but the difference here is we're talking about not so much who was great. We're talking about who was dangerous, who was making you scared. And, you know, Brett Hull and Adam Oates, yeah, that scared you, but only one way. Like, Hull was getting a pass from Adam Oates, and it was a one-timer and into the net. Sakic, Forsberg, yeah, they were scary, but there was a whole team of, oh my goodness, we're playing the Colorado Avalanche, and they have Ray Bourque, and they have Patrick Waugh, and they have Mike Ricci, and they have, you know, all of those. I think there's something to be said that when you played Pittsburgh, you looked at, wow, Jaromir Jagr is going to have the puck, and we're not going to be able to contain him. And if we do, then Mario Lemieux has the puck, and we can't contain him. I think that's the big thing.
My duo would be Saku Koivu and Michael Ryder.
Yes. Yes.
And of course you'd be picking that. It wouldn't surprise me why you would pick that.
It's too obvious for me. It's Mario and Jagr. I mean, Gretzky Messier got a lot of love. But you can't tell me there's a better duo. Look at what they did. Look at how they played. It was absolutely incredible, those two. And I would say, not obviously today, but at any point in their careers, if you match those two up, I would always, always take Lemieux and Jagr, even in today's game. Even if you warp them from 1991 to today, I would still take them today over Crosby, Malkin.
I think one way to look at it, Ribs, is let's say you have a 3-on-3 overtime, okay? And regardless of who the third player is, which one of those duo in 3-on-3 overtime would win? Which one of those duos in 3-on-3 overtime would absolutely scare the bejesus out of you? And I look at Jagr and Lemieux and Mario Lemieux. If it was 3-on-3 overtime and those two jump over the ice, I don't care if you have Rich Pilon or, you know, whoever on the ice with them, they are the one that are scaring me. So that's the way I would look at it. Make it 3-on-3 overtime.
It's amazing that you're sitting here right now saying that Jaromir Jagr and Mario Lemieux are the only ones that are going to scare you.
I didn't say they were the only one. I'm saying who is the one that you pick as the top, and those are the ones.
Yeah. I mean, these duos, Joe Sakic, Forsberg, Stevie Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov. Like, I mean, every single duo in this, if you're playing a 3-on-3, it doesn't matter who you put with them, are going to be so elite that it would be so enjoyable to watch these players play in their primes.
Who wins? You have let's not even go 3-on-3 overtime. Let's do 2-on-2. You drop a puck at center ice. Who wins?
Versus who? Who and who?
Okay. Any one of those duos, Jagr, Lemieux, Crosby, Malkin, Hall, Oates, Sakic, Forsberg, Yzerman, Fedorov, Kane, Taze, Gretzky, Messier. Drop the puck at center ice.
It's not even a question.
Yeah, it's Jagr and Lemieux.
66 and 68.
Absolument, PD. Absolument.
I'm not sure if I can say that, to be honest with you. And here's my only thinking. Mario Lemieux was a brilliant hockey player. His vision was off the chart, but he didn't skate well. When you have
Are you nuts? He didn't skate well. I am the biggest Mario Lemieux fan on the planet. I see you fist pumping over there. He didn't skate well. He was big. He was strong. He was fast.
He couldn't skate well.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody could knock him off the puck.
I didn't say when he had the puck.
He walks Ray Bourque. They're trying to basically hang on to his waist and swing the stick at him. You couldn't reach him. You couldn't pull him down. Too big, too strong, too powerful. Smoked 2 packs a day. I mean, the guy's a legend.
Here's the thing. He has all those things at the most elite levels. The one thing that he did not do as well as the other elite players that are on his list is his skating.
Oh, my God.
You're going to tell me Mario Lemieux was an elite skater?
You know, there's an option right here. I could click on Craig Rivet and remove him from the call. And I'm thinking I may just want to do that right now for that statement alone.
I'm baffled. I'm baffled that you're sitting here saying that Mario Lemieux is not a great skater. Like, okay. I used to hate when people would say Gretzky's not a great skater. Have you ever seen him? He was like he tap danced around people. He would jump up on his toes and he would be dancing around. Marty. He didn't look great, but he could skate. He was good on his edges. I mean, I don't understand what we're talking about here.
Marty, when you saw him firsthand and you were playing against him, did you not have the ability to watch Mario Lemieux play? He slowed everything down. He played a methodical game. He drew people to him, and then he distributed the puck to the open man because you always were trying to double-team Mario Lemieux. Where did he go? He went behind the net. He went into the corners where he could receive the puck and make his magic happen. But moving the puck up the ice, he didn't skate like Sakic or Forsberg or Yzerman or Fedorov or players along this nature. He was a slower, methodical player.
Okay, listen. I'm tweeting a goal, a Mario Lemieux goal in Quebec right now. And I'm tagging you on it, on this, Ribs. I'm going to put PD as well. And I'm going to put the instigators. Let me do it as we talk.
Brian Walsh just tweeted our show. And he said, I think Craig had too many wobbly pops. Lemieux, not a good skater. He's lost his damn mind. I honestly, Riv, you are now, you've gone from assistant general manager to, I don't even know. We're just going to ask you to take a timeout and a leave of absence from the team.
So I'm telling you, go look at this goal I just tweeted about. Mario, he goes from his own end, okay? He gets a puck. That's in Quebec City. I believe they were shorthanded. So he gets the stick out and breaks a pass, and then he gets the puck, and he goes to go on a breakaway. And from the far blue line, he has the Quebec defenseman hooking, grabbing, clutching, wrapped around his back. And Mario skates 165 feet on a breakaway with a guy off his back. That is, to me...
He should have been... If he didn't score, he should have been awarded 7 penalty shots.
At least
7 penalty shots. That's the play I was talking about, Marty.
Okay. Where you're Let me tell you something, Martin.
And you know why? Ribs, stop. You know why the guy is holding him like this? Because he knows if he doesn't hold him, it's going to be a 25-foot separation between Lemieux and him because Mario is going to go so fast down the ice.
You are crazy. Listen, Mario Lemieux had all the speed. The defenseman on the blue line was standing still. Yes, he did hook him, but Mario does not have breakaway speed. He didn't have the quickness.
He doesn't. But if he doesn't have the quickness,
you know what he did have?
Why is this
guy? He had the ability to hold off the guy. He had the ability to widen his legs so the guy couldn't take the puck from him. But he doesn't have breakaway speed. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a bad skater. I'm saying that he's not an elite skater.
For 6'4", 235 pounds. He is about as elite a skater as any great skater out there. You, my friend, need to take a timeout. Darren Dreger is going to join us in a few minutes. We'll open with Dregs on this conversation, but he's got a lot of Sabres. He's got a lot of Sabres to talk about. And I don't know. I'm baffled right now. I can't believe what I'm hearing. JJ, Riv, see ya, or Jay Harris, take us away.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Darren Dreger doing the usual thing for himself, sitting in his office, I think. Dregs, are you there?
I'm not in my office, but I'm self-isolating at home, so not a whole lot has changed in the last 6-7 days.
Oh, well, we're all home. Marty's in his place. Ribs in his place. This isn't too bad, though. I don't mind doing this.
Might get old after the second week, but it is what it is, man. It's just our responsibility to do what we need to.
How many walks with Tiny have you been on over the last few days?
Yeah, a few of them, but we're one of the lazy people, and we've got dog walkers who actually come and pick her up and take her to a quarry nearby with a pack of like 10 other dogs. So they're continuing that service, thankfully, and so she gets picked up on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's beautiful here today. Well, it's not beautiful. It's raining all of a sudden, but temperature-wise, it's nice and warm. I was looking forward to a big hike, but we've got a downpour happening right now, so I'm going to have to wait it out.
So before Rivs ripped you open, because as soon as you said we have dog walker, Rivs looked into the camera and started laughing. I applaud you for keeping small businesses open and keeping the economy going, Dregs. I think that's the key right there.
Of course you're going to take that side, Marty. You would take any other issue. Like, give me a break. I'm looking at Dregs. I'm looking at Marty on Skype right now, and he's giving the old head nod because he's got this. I don't even, what is that, Marty? Is that a rat?
it's a little toy poodle.
Oh, yes. Toy poodle. Okay. So basically, Dregs, Marty's toy poodle is a little bit smaller than a normal rat in New York City. And he's given you the gears about having somebody come and pick up Tiny, who's like, how big is Tiny? How much does he weigh?
Tiny is close to 140 pounds. Yeah. That would be, what's the name of your little rat there, Marty?
Why are we calling my dog a rat? She's the best little dog. Let's have some respect for little Munchkin over here.
Name is Toodles.
Oh boy.
Toodles. What is your dog's name, Marty? Toodles is a character from Disney. What is it?
No, my dog's name is Munchkin.
Your dog's name is Munchkin?
Yes, and that was the kid's name during Munchkin years and years ago. I was still in New York playing for the Rangers then, so yeah, they named her Munchkin. It fits perfectly.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know where to go from there. Dregs, rumor has it you've had a conversation with some general managers around the NHL.
Yeah, a number of them, obviously, just trying to stay in touch. You know, it's far from business as usual for these guys. I mean, normally you'd be closing out the regular season for those in the playoff mix. You're preparing for that. But instead, you know, these guys are focused on college free agents now and preparing as best they can for what the NHL draft might look like. And we don't know what the NHL draft is going to look like positionally wise. But, you know, GMs can't worry about that. So if I use Jason Botterill and the Buffalo Sabres as an example, I'm pretty sure that most GMs and scouting staffs are doing this. You know, they've amassed as much video of individual kids worldwide as they possibly can. And the scouts are scouring over the video, you know, watching games that have been played and world juniors and things like that, and trying to fill all the holes in their scouting areas in preparation for inevitably when the draft will come and how it plays out.
Dregs, I got a question for you. Adam Silverstein was floating the possibility of the NBA having a charity game.
No, go ahead, Rez.
Why are you laughing at that? I want to know, like, is the NHL having any discussions about this?
I mean, if they are, they're very internal and they're very preliminary at this point. I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, the NBA and the National Hockey League are tightly aligned and will continue to be that. And, look, I had conversations yesterday with the Players Association, and you know, there's a sense of responsibility. You know, society is going to need hockey, basketball, baseball, football, sports in general, to uplift spirits when the virus is contained and, you know, we're back to living as normally as we might be. I have no idea when that's going to be, obviously, but there's hope. And so
when we're back to normal, whenever that is, I think that pro sports feel a responsibility to do what is ever necessary to bring things back in line. So if the NBA is doing something like that, I wouldn't at all be surprised if the National Hockey League would be willing to consider it. But I will say this, guys, and this is more of the business side of things. This isn't charity. You know, players are concerned about the dipping in future revenue. And I think we can understand and appreciate why. And not just for this year, but in seasons ahead. And that's why more and more we keep talking about in the media the need for a full 82-game regular season next year. Whenever that is, whenever it starts, they're going to need to play 82 regular season games to help boost revenue. So I think on the short term, that's more of a concern than, you know, trying to do some of the other stuff.
Have you, you were mentioning here, one of the things was the staff was making sure the players have workout programs. Is that something Boxall told you as well?
Yeah, it is. You know, his performance staff in Buffalo, you know, not every NHL player has a home gym. Maybe they've got just the simple basics to some degree, but, you know, why would you, unless you're clearly one of those guys who prepare or who prefers to train in the off season at home. So that's, you know, that's been a bit taxing for the performance people in Buffalo and around the league, but, you know, they're doing whatever they can to develop workout programs for the individual players throughout the organization and make modifications wherever possible to those workout programs based on, you know, the limited access they might have to certain facilities.
Dregs, what about escrow? I mean, the players have got to be talking about escrow. This year, I think the escrow level was about, what, 14%?
Yeah.
And usually players get about 4 or 5% of that back at the end of the season when they figure out playoff revenue. Now, talk is that it could be 4% or even 20% more in escrow plus the 14%. So, I mean, we're thinking it could be 30, 35% escrow at the end of the year. That means a million-dollar player would make $650,000. Like, where are we at with the escrow?
Well, it's a tough one, Marty. I mean, again, based on the language in the current collective bargaining agreement, yeah, that's how it would break down. But I wouldn't pay too much attention to the formulas that exist in today's CBA. I really wouldn't. I can't predict the future. There's no crystal ball to suggest that there's going to be ongoing harmony for the next few years through this as you try and recover from a financial perspective. But I can tell you that, you know, the commissioner's office of the National Hockey League, who effectively represent the owners, know that they are going to have to be flexible. And they're willing to be that. And they're willing to be as appreciative and understanding of the repair work that needs to get done. And they do not expect that the players should shoulder that or carry the burden of making the system 50-50 whole again. I think escrow, I think the salary cap for next season, whenever next season, you know, gets back into play, is going to be interesting, but it's going to be bargained between the Players Association and the National Hockey League and can't be based on revenue of the past season because, you know, every day that goes by, millions and millions of dollars are evaporating from hockey-related revenue, right? So I there's going to be a pinch. You know, no question the players are going to feel it. The owners are going to have to take on some of that. They say they will, but until there's a return process, then all of this is just speculation. But I do think it's good faith. I do not think that the owners in the National Hockey League are clearly going to hang the players out to dry financially.
I got to ask this question. It's the new Jeff Skinner. I know we don't even know where we're going on the season, but in your conversation with Boxall, did Sam Reinhart come up at all?
No, we didn't talk about it because, again, when you're looking at July 1st for the restricted free agents or the pending unrestricted free agents, you know, contractually, all of that stuff, we can't be certain what it's going to look like. Now, they're not going to blow up contracts, but, you know, the contract for Sam Reinhart and all pending free agents, you know, is still very much in play. And the fact the regular season, you know, didn't get completed, only 85%, you know, is there going to be a willingness to slide? And again, that's going to have to be something that is negotiated bargain between the NHL Players Association and the NHL. But until there's a sense, and maybe it's more of information and recommendations coming from the CDC or the World Health Organization as to, you know, look, go back to, you know, what was it, 3-4 days ago when the National Hockey League sent out the memo and said that the plan is to start training camps 45 days into the 60-day window. That statement blew me away because they're working solely off what the CDC said. The CDC recommended that groups of 50 or more not be able to assemble for the next 8 weeks. So that's why the National Hockey League and the Players Association put that in that memo. But as we're having this conversation today on the Instigators, is any one of us actually convinced or even encouraged at the possibility of potentially having a training camp within the next 40 to 42 days? I know I'm not. And I'd be more surprised if the CDC didn't come out in the next week or two to extend that 8-week process. So, you know, that's kind of a timeline that the league is working off of, but anything to do with the timeline, including July 1st and the free agents, is going to have to slide.
Absolutely crazy. Crazy. Yeah. Dregs, time's sake, we got to let you go because we got to do a buy-sell trade on the other side of the break. Marty, Craig, I'm looking at you guys right now. Is there one more thing you want to ask Dregs before we let him go, as they say in the phone world back in 1998?
No, Dregs, go enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend at home. And, you know, what are we today, Friday? So you don't get Tiny to go on a walk until Tuesday. So I suggest maybe you bundle up and take the dog out.
Yeah, no, Tiny and I, as soon as the rain stops, we're heading into the forest. You guys follow on Instagram. I was in the midst of a beaver hunt in the winter because a pack of beavers kind of built a dam in a stream right near my house. So we're going to go check that out.
I know why you take a dog that size into the woods, Dregs.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Well, I had a Mastiff, and she was 140 pounds. You don't have to pick up.
Wow.
Tell me I'm wrong. Because I know what those dogs can do.
Yeah, my dog, she's not smart enough for that though. Not one time has she dropped in the forest. I hear what you're saying.
Haven't started to do the trot with her where you're like, come on, come on, and they're like dropping their their butts because they're trying to hold it, and they're trying to hold it for you because they love you so much. But all right. Well, listen. Enjoy your hike.
All right, guys. Marty, you keep Munchkin safe, and the rest of you guys be well.
Yeah, she needs is a Ziploc bag to pick up her little things out there, so I'm good.
She needs a Ziploc bag per week for that thing. They're like little rabbit turds.
Exactly. See? Another positive.
Do you actually pick up the turds for that dog?
I do, yes.
They look Why wouldn't you just put your foot on it and smear it into the grass or something? It's not even worth bending down to pick up, Marty.
Don't put it out with your boots, Ted. Okay, that's Billy Madison for you. We'll be back with Buy, Sell, Trade quickly before we get out of here for the weekend. Thanks, Dregs.
All right, guys.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Instigators, live via Skype over the radio. It's been an interesting week, but I think we're all kind of loving it secretly. On being able to still deliver to the people.
2-minute warning.
What the people want. Hey, Marty. Marty Biron joined us for the whole show today. And I guess we got to squeeze in a buy-sell trade, and I guess I should say not very prepared here. Didn't have it ready to rock and roll. We have a list of them because I was I was so blown away reading that I asked an NHL defenseman who played against Lemieux what he thought of his skating, and he kind of said the exact opposite of what our in-house correspondent, Mr. Rebe, said. So anyway. Got that going for us. So buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment, and I guess we'll just go with this one here. You will watch WrestleMania. You guys wrestling fans?
No, but that's the one I was hoping you were going to pick, because there was a list of different buy-sell trade, and you will watch WrestleMania. I am buying.
Last minute play in the show.
I used to be a wrestling fan. My brother and I used to go over to my grandma's house every Sunday, and we would watch wrestling in the morning. That was Coco Beware, Randy Macho Man Savage, Andre the Giant. So anyway, so I'll watch this one just because we're home and got to entertain ourselves. So I will. Bye.
Bye.
The only time is WrestleMania WWE?
Yes.
The only time I watched WrestleMania is when I was watching Sheldon Surrey's wife named Kelly Kelly. She was one of the female wrestlers up there throwing each other around. There you go.
So buy, sell, trade there?
I'm going to sell this. Not a chance. If there's no King Kong Bundy or Macho Man Randy Savage or Jake the Snake.
Nikolai Volchkov.
There you go.
The killer.
By the way.
The Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
Brett
the Hitman Hart.
Boys, have a safe weekend, eh? Talk with you next week.
All right, boys. Good job.
Thumbs up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.